This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There is no archaeological proof that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself existed. Right? They don't have a proof. They don't have a physical proof. Now, these are physical proofs of the Quran. Quran that was written during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or maybe 10 years, 20 years after his death, alayhi salatu wasallam.
One of the oldest fragments of the Quran ever discovered. It's written on parchment, most likely made from sheep or goatskin, and it's been dated by experts as being more than 1300 years old. And that makes it among the earliest known fragments of the Quran anywhere in the world, and it's here in the University of Birmingham. This remarkable document had been resting on the shelves of the university library for decades without anybody realizing just how old it was, until a researcher decided to take a closer look. The pages were radiocarbon dated to no later than the year 645, which means the university has found one of the very earliest known examples.
Finding out that we had one of the oldest records of the Quran in the whole world was fantastically exciting, individually and for the university as well. I mean, we were expecting it to be early, but we did not, I think in our wildest dreams, expect that it would roughly correlate to the lifespan of the Prophet Muhammad, which makes it an incredibly early Quranic fragment.
The manuscript had been stored here in a collection of Middle Eastern documents brought to Birmingham in the 1920s. Academics here say that this discovery goes back to the earliest years of Islam.
The person who actually wrote it may well have known the Prophet Muhammad. He would have seen him probably. He would maybe have heard him preach. He may have known him personally. And that really is quite a thought to conjure with.
Birmingham is one of the country's biggest Muslim communities, and they have welcomed having such a treasure in their city.
When I saw these pages, I was very much moved, and there were tears of joy and emotions in my eyes. And I was sure that even the people from all over UK would come here to Birmingham to just have a glimpse of these pages. People from Douglas.
This is an exceptionally rare or valuable discovery, and the university says it will be put on public display. It has no intention of letting these pages from world history leave Birmingham. Sean Coughlin, BBC News.
Okay. So this video was shared in 2015, and this discovery actually was made in 2015 by a Muslim student. She was a PhD student at the University of Birmingham, and she was Muslima doing some studies on the Quran, and she's the one who discovered this old copy of the Quran. It was bought or stolen, Allahu A'lam, by an English person who lived in the Middle East. He brought it from Iraq, and he had a collection, a famous collection in the city of Birmingham. Now, there is also another old manuscript that is found in Germany, in the university, in case you are interested, in the University of Tübingen, T-U-B-I-N-G-E-N, University. And they said about this, the fragment that they have in Germany, in this city, in this German university. They said, this Quran that we have, it was proven, they found out through, carbon dating, that it was written, or it must have been written between 20 to 40 years after the death of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Christians don't have this. They don't have a proof. They don't have a book. They don't have a physical proof that goes back to the time, the first century, after the death of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, not the death, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to take him to heaven. But we have now different copies that are found in different cities. The thought that I would like to share with you is the ayah in Surah Fussilat, ayah 53. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Sanurihim." He's talking about the kuffar, the disbelievers. We will show them our signs, ayatina fil afaq, in the horizons, wafi anfusihim, and within themselves, until it becomes clear to them that this Quran is the truth. That this is the translation of, the clear Quran, because he said أنه الحق حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق until it becomes clear to them that this is the truth. He said because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking in the previous ayah 52 about the Quran. So he must be talking about the Quran here because the other translation أنه الحق the other translation or the other meaning is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. But the context is about the Quran. My point here is, I always used to think about this ayat in this ayah, سَنُرِيهِمْ, we will show them our signs. I always had the impression that these signs are about the signs of creation in this universe. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of knowledge for people. They will look, they will study, they will examine and investigate. They will do more research about his signs in this universe until it becomes to them, it becomes clear to them that this deen, the deen, is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ayat in the Quran, ya ikhwan, or in the Arabic language, have two meanings. Ayat in Quran, the verses of the Quran are called ayat, as we all know, and also the signs of creation in this universe. So what I'm trying to say here, this ayah 53 in Surah Fussilat might actually could be an interpretation of what's happening now. Because these discoveries are happening just in the last 10 years. You know, you're talking about 2015. This Quran manuscript, Birmingham Quran manuscript, they were discovered 2015. That is less than 10 years. The German copy, or the copy that is found in the German university, I read their article that was shared on their university. I looked into their website, the website of the university, and the article that it was written in 2014, that is 10 years. 10 years. So in the last 10 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them signs, showing them physical proofs. You know, these copies must have been written during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or 20 years, 10 years, which is a very short period of time. This is a very strong proof, actually, by the way. When historians, you know, study this subject, to them, this is enough. This is a strong physical proof that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person who lived there during that time, and the Quran existed. What this professor said, David Thomas, he said, this is a proof that the Quran has not been changed. Because it is the same. They were able to verify, actually, the parchment or the fragments that are found in the University of Birmingham, they contain three surahs. I don't know if they are full surahs, but amazingly, is surah 18, or part of Surah 18, which is Surah Al-Kahf. Surah 19, which is about Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, chapter 19, and also 20, Ta. And they were able to look into them and compare between, you know, what is written there and between our Mus'haf, and they found no difference. So this is something that, you know, if you want, you can look into it. And material is available. As I told you before, there is a center in Turkey that taking care of all these, you know, copies, and they're collecting information about these old copies of the Quran that are found in different cities. I just thought about, you know, afaq, the word afaq, the horizons, because afaq is in Arabic horizons, in different places of the world. You will see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those copies of the Quran are found in Berlin, in Germany, in UK, found in Turkey, in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in different places, and people are able to verify their dates, and they are able to verify that these copies were written during the first century, or the 7th century, a few years after the death of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or during his life, Allahu ta'ala alam. Today, our subject is knowledge of the unseen. We'll have a short halaqah because in this halaqah, we're supposed to talk about belief in the unseen, al-iman bil-ghayb, and also knowledge of the unseen and its types. There are two types of ilm al-ghayb, and also knowledge of the prophets and messengers, Did they have access, full access to the knowledge of the unseen? Or was it limited to what was revealed to them? And also knowledge of the righteous people and saints and religious leaders. We have different sects within Shia faith. They believe that their leaders, their imams, they know, they have unrestricted access to knowledge of the unseen. They know what happened in the past. They know what's going on now in the world. They know what will happen in the future. Is that true? Is this a form of shirk? Is this part of Islam? What are their proofs? And also knowledge of the fortune tellers. There are people who consult fortune tellers, and sometimes these fortune tellers, they tell them, they give them something, some information about something, and it happens the way they told them about it. So is it something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously not, but maybe from jinns, and they have other sources. You know, so we need to talk about these things, but today we cannot talk about all this subject. Inshallah, on a different occasion, we'll talk about most of this subject, but I would like to focus on our belief in the unseen. And belief in the unseen, ya akhwan, is a major tenet of faith. Al-Iman bil-ghayb. Al-Iman bil-ghayb is a major tenet of faith. Yani, if you look at Surah Al-Baqarah, the first page in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about some characteristics and qualities of the believers, those who accepted the Qur'an, accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their creator. Alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fih, hudan lil-muttaqeen. Their first, the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, he said, yu'minuna alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi, wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. And then he said, أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. The point is, Allah سبحانه وتعالى is telling us about those, you know, he said, ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. This is the book. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. A guidance for the people of taqwa, the people who follow the path of taqwa. And then he told us there are those who believe in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is their first quality. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And they establish the prayer, and then they donate from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with. They donate from their wealth. They donate, they give sadaqat. So they believe in the unseen, they establish the prayer, and they give sadaqah. And then in the next ayah he said, they believe in what was revealed to you. And what was revealed to those prophets and messengers before you. So they believe in the other scriptures and books. And then, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And they certainly, or they believe in with certainty in the day of judgment. So they have certainty, they have no doubt about the day of judgment. Most of these things are about knowledge of the unseen or belief in the unseen. الإيمان بالغيب. What is interesting, at the end of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So if you have these qualities, if you have these sifat, inshallah you will be among those who are truly guided by their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. It is those who are truly guided by their Lord, and وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is those who will be successful. This is a beautiful, you know, a statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaj'alana min ha'ula. Now, the unseen, what is the unseen? Belief in the unseen. The unseen is anything that we did not see with our eyes, or we cannot see. We cannot. It's impossible to see it, right? It's not. We didn't see it in the past. We don't see it now. And it's not possible for us to see it in the future. Like there are many angels. You will never dream that you will see an angel. It's not possible, right? It's not possible. Only prophets and messengers saw some angels, but the rest of us will not be able. This is an example. For example, Jannah, for example, we believe that Jannah exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jannah, but we're not able to see it. It is part of the Iman bil Ghayb. We believe in it, right? But we didn't see it. So everything, it includes everything that we did not see, we cannot see, with our eyes, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to believe in it. So this is basically the definition of al-iman bil-ghayb. So it refers of all and that is found within the revelation, and we have to believe in it. And most of the time we cannot prove it through intellectual inquiry or through scientific research. We cannot prove it. Of course, our deen is divided. Matters of faith are divided in two types. Some of them we can investigate them and look into them and examine them, right? And use intellectual inquiry to understand them. But there are matters of faith that you cannot prove them scientifically, like the journey of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. It's not possible for you to prove it in any way. How can you prove this journey? Right? You just believe in it. And it's not possible for a human to do it. We just believe in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about Isra al-Mi'raj, we talk about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to take his servant, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the city of Mecca to the city of Jerusalem, and then he enabled him to ascend it to heaven, and he was able to see, many things there during that night, during that journey. So it includes what happened in the past, like mathan stories in the prophets. We didn't live with these prophets and messengers, but we read about their stories in the Quran, and we believe in these stories. It includes also what exists now, but we are not able to see it. Like, as I said, jinns, most of the people don't see, are not able to see jinns. Maybe some of them, maybe some people. They were told about those who practice witchcraft and magic. Some of them are able to communicate with jinnis. I don't have experience with that. Anyway, but there are some people who claim that they are able to communicate with jinnis, right? And also, hayat al-barzakhiyya, life in the barzakh. We believe in it. Some people are enjoying their life in the graves. Some people could be suffering, but we don't see it. We're not able to see it. What will happen in the future? So all these things are included in this concept of belief in the unseen, al-iman bil-ghayb. So basically, anything that is related to life after death, anything that is related to life after death is part of this big theme, al-iman bil-ghayb, or belief in the unseen. So basically, it has to do with the fundamentals of faith. How should we believe in the matters of faith or matters of the unseen? So number one, our belief has to be firm. I cannot have doubt. I have to believe in these matters with yaqeen, even if, as I said, I'm not able to prove them in a scientific method. I still have to have yaqeen and certainty in this matter of faith. The only investigation that we are supposed to do, the only investigation, is to investigate the soundness, make sure that it is an ayah from the Quran, I'm using an ayah from the Quran, or I'm using an authentic hadith. So what I am supposed to investigate, the soundness of the textual evidence. I need to make sure that I'm not using a weak hadith or a fabricated hadith, or I'm not using the wrong ayah, talking about the wrong subject. An ayah could be an ayah from the Quran, but it is used in the wrong context. It is used in the wrong way to prove something that is not related to the ayah, right? So I need to make sure that I'm using the right verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to their own subjects, and also I am using a hadith that is authentic from the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it comes to level of faith, there is no room for doubt when it comes to this matter of faith. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about al-mu'mineen, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. So he said the believers are only those who believed in Allah and his messenger and have no doubt. They have no doubt in the matters of faith. And as I said, if you tell me, okay, I'm not sure about my deen, because I, 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 I received this feedback from some young people. No, there are many religions, many ideologies, and some of them were confused and say, okay, how do I make sure that Islam is the right religion? There are young people in this society, in this environment, who ask this question, maybe in other societies too. Maybe back home we have people who ask the same questions. Okay, that's okay to ask these questions. We tell them, okay, there are other matters of faith that you can look into them and investigate them and strengthen your faith. So use the other matters of faith to prove that these matter of faith, that you don't have proof for them, you don't have a scientific evidence, to, you know, use the other ones to prove that these ones are right. So if Islam was right about this, these ones, it must be right about these ones too. If I accept the Quran as a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've been talking about the Quran for 2 weeks, right? That the Quran is miraculous. Talking about the miraculous aspect of the Quran. And we alhamdulillah, we dealt with all the issues, all the other opinions, which says that the Quran was written by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or some Christians and Jews helped him, or he was deceived by the devil, and so on and so forth. We talked about all these options, right? And we were able, alhamdulillah, I mean, with some, we believe that we have enough proofs, we have reasonable ground to believe that this book was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not written by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I used this knowledge to accept the matters of faith that are in the book. If I accept the Quran as a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I should be able to accept anything that is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to yaqeen, we can also use the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that I mentioned today. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. So those people who will be saved on the Day of Judgment, they believe with certainty in the hereafter. Now, how do we manage this kind of belief? Again, there are people who ask this question, how can I believe in something I cannot see? First of all, we need to know that belief in the unseen is a test. We're being tested, and a test for all humanity. Right? If we're able to see Allah, if everyone is able to see Allah, then there will be no testing. And there is no point of creating Jannah and Nar and sending some people to Jannah because they are successful. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord. And then therefore they deserve Jannah. And then these people, they rejected. They rejected. So these are the outcomes of a test. People are being tested. This is the number one. This is number one point. The first point that we need to know. And the Quran has actually clearly stated this, مثلا in Surah Tabarak, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم, ليبلوكم, who created death and life to test you, which of you is best indeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us in the Quran that we are being tested on this earth. Now when it comes to accepting belief in the unseen, people are divided into two groups. I'm talking about those who accepted, who believe in the unseen. They are divided into two groups. The first group, they are those who listen to their hearts. So they said, you know, I feel that it is impossible for this universe to exist without a maker. This is their statement. This is how they go about it. And this is called in Islam, Dalilul Fitra. Dalilul Fitra, the proof of pure nature or natural disposition. So these people are not trying to investigate and use scientific methods to prove that Islam is true religion. They don't do that. They said, we believe. We see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. We read the Quran. We feel that the Quran is true message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the message of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are satisfied with that. I don't have problem with that. Like there was a Bedouin who was asked about his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Bedouin, he lived in a long time. And he said, he made a beautiful statement. He said, الْبَعْرَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ وَالْأَثَرُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَسِيرِ فَسَمَاءٌ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجِ وَأَرْضٌ ذَاتُ فِجَاجِ أَلَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْخَبِيرِ الْعَلِيمِ. So this Bedouin made a beautiful statement in which he said, he looked at things into his environment. He's a Bedouin. He lives in the Arabian Peninsula. So he deals with camels. Right? He looked at things in his environment. So he said, camel dung indicates camels. When I see camel dung, No, I know that the camels were here and they moved, they were walking in this area. This is a proof to me that some camels were in there in this area. That was his proof. He said, and footprints indicate travel. When I see footprints on the ground, I feel that there are people who were walking in this area here. This is a proof to me that some people were walking in this area. He said, so the sky with its constellation, that is his statement. فَسَمَاءٌ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجٍ وَحَيَ فِي رِوَايَةٍ قَالْ وَبِحَارٌ ذَاتُ أَمْوَاجٍ, and the seas with their waves, and the earth with its pathways, do they not indicate the all-knowing, the all-wise? Al-Alim al-Khabir. So he looked at the environment around him and he was able to conclude that this universe is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And this is what the Quran does most of the time. The Quran appeals to the intelligence and the inner thoughts of people, encouraging them to use basic logic and fitrah and reason to arrive at a state of yaqeen, a state of certainty in faith. For example, if we take the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah 190 in Surah Ali Imran, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation between night and day are signs for those people of understanding. This ayah, someone who doesn't have knowledge, or whose knowledge is limited, might read it and might find it very beautiful, right? The ayah talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation between night and day. He could be satisfied with this knowledge, simple knowledge, and say, I believe in that. I believe these are signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, right? But someone else who had knowledge, he's a scientist, he might look into it and he may study heavens and planets and stars, and he will be able to measure the distance between stars and between planets, and talking about galaxies and Milky Ways and what it contains. He might study, he could be someone who is a geologist who studied the earth and how the earth is, different layers of the earth and so on and so forth. So he might use this ayah, but he might give it, he look into it from a different angle, right? From a different angle, and he might use this ayah also as a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exists. So these people, they said, I feel the presence of God. I feel that the Quran is true messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is dalil al-fitrah. Because they say, I believe in my brain, even though I'm not able to see it. I believe that I have a heart, even though I'm not able to see it. I believe in love, hatred, human feelings. They're not tangibles. So these are the basic proofs that these people use. They said they are not tangibles. I'm not able to see love. I'm not able to, I can feel it. I feel it when someone is showing love, when someone is showing hatred, when someone is doing this or this. But they said these are not tangible things. I cannot prove them with a physical proof, right? So, but these are the proofs that they use. The second group, they are those, as I said, who use intellectual inquiry, and they like to investigate and ask questions. That's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was a great messenger of Allah, asked for an extra proof. The ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? He asked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, do you not believe? He said, Bala, I believe, but I want for my heart to be assured. So the Islam welcomes intellectual inquiry, scientific research. There is no contradiction between Islam and between science. The contradiction that exists now between science, or the gap between science and faith, it was created in the medieval ages in Europe. It is the outcome of this conflict that existed between the church and between scientific community in the medieval ages, in the Middle Ages in Europe. And mushkila, the problem is, these people apply this same concept to all religious. They included Islam, and everything is included, and they believe now that there is, many of them, they believe that there is conflict between science and faith. So in Islam, we don't have this problem. Now, as I said, مسائل الغيب, there are things that you cannot prove them through scientific research, like the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are matters of aqeedah. The only way you know them is through the Quran or the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day of judgment and all the events, starting with the grave, what will happen in the grave to the person when he passes away, and the way we will be resurrected, the way we stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we will be taken to account, as-sirat, the bridge, Jannah, Nar, all these matters, you will never be able to prove them through a scientific method. These are matters of ilm al-ghayb, the unseen, and you have to believe them. As I said, the journey of al-Isra al-Mi'raj, the second coming of Isa alayhi salam, someone told me, how can a human being do this? Right? Isa alayhi salam coming from heaven to earth. And the answer is easy. We're not talking about the power of Isa, we're talking about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very simple. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created this universe, is able to take Isa to make him sleep there, or Allahu alam, I don't know. We don't know what he's doing there. Is he asleep there or is he alive? Allahu alam. What kind of life he has? But we know, we have enough proofs in the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Isa will come back at the end of time. He's one of the major signs. So these are matter of faith that cannot be confirmed through scientific research. Now, there are some other matters of faith that we can, inshallah, investigate them. Like scientific information in the Quran. Feel free to investigate it. And the Quran is challenging people. Try to find a mistake in the Quran. Try to find a mistake in the Quran. So the scientific information that is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, maybe some of it cannot be confirmed. Scientifically cannot be confirmed. That means scientists were not able to confirm it. Right? Like مثلاً, for example, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said any human being has 360 joints. Our scientists, they have a debate. Some of them, they said 300, anything between 300 to 400. Some science researchers from Japan, they said 360, the way Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. But they're saying, oh, it was actually a Chinese concept, yani Chinese scientists, they had this long time ago. They were talking about 360 joints. So there is a debate about it. But the point is, you cannot prove that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wrong. You cannot prove that the Quran, you cannot prove that any scientific information, I'm confident about my statement, any scientific information in the Quran is wrong. Proofs of prophethood, study them. Study dala'il al-nubuwa. Investigate the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The miraculous nature of the Quran, we talked about it. The concept of intelligent design. You know, most of the people who deal with, they call them intelligent design movement, right? Most of them are not Muslims. They are Christians. And we can use their research with some reservation. It's a different subject. We are not going to talk about it. With some reservation, we can use their material and their research. Now, as I said, how can we benefit from this knowledge? The basic argument, as I said, we say if Islam was right about these matters, then it must be right about the other matters that we don't have a scientific proof about them. Two types. If he was right about the first group of matters, then he must be, Islam must be right about the second group. And if we are able to confirm that the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have the obligation to believe in every letter in the Quran, in every word in the Quran. All the information that is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in it, even if we're not able to see it with our eyes. Now, those who do scientific research, they need to do it with the right attitude. Our youth, our young people, you have to be careful. Do it with the right attitude. First, keep looking for knowledge and humble yourself. This is number one. Number two, do not reject something without a valid proof. Number three, do not look down upon those who are satisfied with dalil al-fitra, the proof of pure nature or natural disposition. They said, I don't have to investigate. I'm fine. I'm satisfied with my faith. Do not look down upon them. Okay? This faith will help them on the day of judgment, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Right? The Sahaba were not scientists. But they accepted the deen, and their faith was very strong, and they had yaqeen about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Quran and the message of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, you can tell me that, you know, they lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had a close relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first-hand experience. But there were people who lived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they rejected the message of Islam, right? So anyway, now the last thing is, if you stumble upon something challenging, a challenging matter of faith, like you feel it's challenging, it's a doubtful matter, do not panic. The problem with some of our youth, they panic right away. They forget about all the proofs that they know about Islam, and they just focus on that matter that they are not able to explain. And they go into what is called a faith crisis. You don't need to do that. Take your time, and study, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of mercy for him, and he will open the doors of knowledge for you. You know, when I was talking about Quran in the last 2 weeks, we're talking about the misconception that says, or the claim that says, some Jews and Christians must have helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to write the book. I got a new idea about, you know, the issue of him alayhi salatu wasalam being married to multiple wives in Medina. This is something that, of course, it will cross your mind. You will see people talking about it on social media. How come he was allowed to get married more than 4 wives? And this is something that happened in the city of Medina. So I did a research about it a long time, and I was satisfied with the result of my research. But I got a new proof, a new argument, while studying Quran just recently. Studying this claim of people claiming that the Jews... Because Rasulullah ﷺ had 2 lives. Everyone has 2 lives, right? You have your private life with your wife and your children, and the second one is your public life, right? Now, in his public life, he's with the Sahaba, with people outside. The Sahaba did not see a Jewish man or a Christian man come and helping him to write the Quran. If this is something that happened in front of their eyes, they would have told us about it. His enemies would actually tell us about it. That, yeah, I saw this guy helping him to write the Quran. There is no claim. There is no, even non-Muslims during that time did not make this claim. Now what we are left with, what? Private life. Private life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him because it was we had Jewish communities in Medina. But some people say he must have taken some knowledge from Jewish people in Medina. He allowed him in Medina to get married with 9 wives. So all these wives will testify that he was not hiding anything at home. He was not receiving secretly some people at home, some Jewish or Christian people coming to his house and teach him about the Quran. And of course, you know, as I said, we can argue for these multiple wives in different, I talked about it in Jum'ah. We don't have time to talk about it. I want to give you 10 minutes because today is Friday and dua is accepted now. I want to give you 10 minutes before the adhan to make dua. And tomorrow is Arafah. I want you to prepare yourself for Arafah. Okay? So, again, as I said, the conclusion is, if you face anything that you believe is challenging or it's a difficult matter of faith, do not panic. Take your time. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. Wallahi, you will reach a conclusion and you will be happy, you'll be satisfied. Just seek, keep seeking knowledge. There are matters until now, I don't understand them, but I have enough proofs that my faith is a true faith. I have مثلا يأجوج والمأجوج. I don't understand them, but I believe in them because they're mentioned in the Quran. They're mentioned in authentic hadith. But I don't understand the concept of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. I have different interpretation. I'm not sure which one is right. But I don't have doubt about my faith because I have enough proofs. Enough proofs that my faith is true religion, is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have no doubt that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was true messenger of Allah. And I have no doubt that the Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enough proofs. So when I come to a mas'ala, one matter, I don't understand it, I accuse my limited knowledge. I don't start doubting my faith. I don't doubt my faith because I have problem with one mas'ala. I forget about all the other mas'ail, all the other matters that I have enough proofs. They are, mashallah, strong arguments about my deen, in favor of my deen. I forget about them, and I just get stuck with this one mas'ala, and I start having this what is called faith crisis. So this is something that is not reasonable. We're not supposed to do it. And come, keep coming to the halaqat, listening, seeking knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with fiqh of al-deen. Asa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yufiqihana fi al-deen. When you alimana ta'wil. Tomorrow is a great day, ikhwan. Try to take advantage of it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam qal khayru du'a'i du'a'u yawm Arafah. The best du'a is the du'a that is made on the day of Arafah. Tomorrow is Arafah. If you can come to the masjid, pray Salat al-Fajr. Stay after Fajr. Sisters, you can pray at home. And stay after Fajr. Don't go to bed. Make dhikr du'a. The best du'a is the du'a that you will make tomorrow, inshallah. You can prepare your list of du'a tonight. You can include Jannah, include your children, your family, brothers and sisters in Palestine. So have your list prepared for tonight. Now, it could be a time that dua will be accepted. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, there is a time every Friday in which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepts dua. And some Sahaba used to believe it is at the end of the day. So we have maybe 10 minutes before Maghrib. Try to take advantage of your time. Make dua. Prepare yourself for tomorrow. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق للجميع بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خير